I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. The Academy Awards has come under fire after disqualifying the Nigerian film Lionheart from the Best International Film category. According to the Academy's rules, the movie contained too much English to make the Oscars cut.
That should be over my dead body.
Get it up over your dead body. Company.
Nigeria is home to Nollywood, the world's second largest film industry. And while it produces local language films, the majority of Nollywood's movies are in English, which is the official language of the country. The choice to exclude Lionheart from Oscar competition has ignited a conversation about the history of colonialism, language, and race, at least here in the United States. For more on this, I'm joined by Antoinette Isama, a freelance writer. Hi, Antoinette.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And from Lagos, Nigeria, we have Ifeoma Fafunwa, a playwright, director, and founder of Eye Open Eye Productions. Hi, Ifeoma.
Thank you for having me.
Antoinette, was it really a question of language in terms of why Lionheart was disqualified?
According to them, yes.
And what are the rules? Like, what were the rules that they were citing here?
They were saying that any film that wants to be considered for this category needs to not be in English, predominantly in English. However, there are certain international films that, you know, need to be in English for their primary audience to understand what's going on in the film. And of course, these countries include former colonies of Britain. And in turn of being a former colony of Britain, the official languages of these respective countries is English. So there's a big question mark there.
A big question mark that's gotten a lot of attention. Ifeoma, you are in Nigeria right now. What is the feeling among the Nigerian filmmakers that you know and talk to?
To be honest, it's not as topical as it is in the U.S. and internationally here. I'm surprised that the first news I heard of it came from outside Nigeria, and of course it's all over the internet. But here they aren't as tuned in, because I think historically there's a lot of pushback around America now on establishment and, you know, historical corporations, organizations that may have excluded minorities.
Is it also a question, Ifeoma, of the fact that, as we mentioned at the top, Nigeria is the second largest film industry in the world? And really, I mean, does it matter if they're in the Oscars or not? Or maybe that's part of the reason why we here in the United States are making a bigger deal of it than Nigerians in Nigeria?
Exactly. I think so one of the opportunities this brings up is for Nigerians themselves to ask, you know, where, how does this matter, and should they really be investing? The Nollywood industry really was built historically on just the sweat and grit of ordinary citizens that just took little video cameras and made films, giving themselves jobs, facing unemployment, etc. This movement sort of overlooks that history. 200 million Nigerians and Nigerians in the diaspora have been watching Nigerian films, plus Nigerians in the diaspora and Africans in the diaspora have been watching Nollywood films for 20 years. And I feel like this sort of, you know, places a shadow on that reality. But I like this controversy because I think it shines a light on what is possible for Nigeria.
Antoinette, I would love your thoughts on that, because it is a different situation here in the United States. The Oscars in particular have been criticized, you know, think back to April Ryan's hashtag #OscarsSoWhite. And there are people who say that there's an undercurrent of bias in this decision from the Oscars. What do you say to that, Antoinette? And then what do you think of Ifeoma's reaction from Nigeria?
Yeah, I think, thanks to social media platforms, there's more of a democratization of people sharing their thoughts and calling to question establishment and quote-unquote rules and who those rules apply to. As early as yesterday, there's another film that was considered for the running. It was called Joy for Austria. That was also disqualified for the same reason. And the storyline was, again, centers on Nigerian sex workers in Vienna. So I think it just calls to question, like, is there a standard as to what English is? Because there are different variants of English, even in Nigeria and other African countries. Like, people would consider how they approach English to be a dynamic take on what English is. So is it really about a standard? Is it not? If you look at the stories that are being told through these films that are being disqualified, what do they look like? They're Black.
And let's talk about that, because Ifeoma made an interesting point that in Nigeria, at least right now, among the creatives and filmmakers that she's speaking to, there's sort of a shrug at the controversy.
Yeah, and I totally understand, because in terms of how I even wanted to contribute to the conversation, I at least wanted to bring up that there are academies and entities on the continent that have been doing the work. Now we have to ask ourselves, are we even paying attention to what they're doing? And in what ways can we continue to amplify those platforms?
Ifeoma, one of the things that came up also is that a lot of Lionheart is in colloquial Nigerian English, which is a variant of English that's mostly foreign to a lot of Americans here in the United States. These dialects are often spoken by low-income people of color in other countries. Do you think classism played into this at all?
No, I don't. I think Lionheart is a great movie. I've seen it. I've seen Joy. I think they're both wonderful movies. But I think the broader issue of, you know, when you go on the Academy's list of requirements, it clearly states that 50% of the film needs to be in a language other than English. And it's been that way for, I mean, I remember 30 years ago logging on to find out the requirements. It's not something that is new. Yes, the Academy now maybe can review and see if some of their laws and rules are outdated. But countries like Australia, New Zealand, Canada that speak English, once you start opening up English language and dialects, then Brooklyn and Savannah, Georgia qualify for English language dialects in terms of pronunciation. I mean, it becomes very open on the list of languages. Pidgin English is considered a different language. Here we have more than 60% of the film. 70% of the film in English.
Ifeoma, when you think about whether or not, you mentioned earlier that the rules are the rules, right? The Oscars for international film submissions have their rules. 50% of it has to be in a language other than English. Do you think those rules should be updated?
I definitely think that the rules should be reviewed, because what is the ultimate objective of that category? It's meant to encourage filmmaking in those different countries. And like we've said earlier, there are filmmakers just making films from scratch with nothing. And, you know, who then looks and reviews within the country? There are films made in Yoruba language. There are films made in Igbo language. There are many films made that have no English in them at all. Who is looking and scouting?
Go ahead, Antoinette, last word.
When it comes to filmmakers approaching feature films to either circulate it on the festival circuit or to be considered for top awards like this, should they still think about their audience first, or should they think about these rules? Because I feel like with a lot of these films, they're making it for their people. It's a reflection of themselves. So how does that match up against these rules that could possibly deter even more people who even hail from their respective countries to even acknowledge them or see them on the international level?
Antoinette Isama is a freelance journalist, and Ifeoma Fafonwa is a playwright, director, and founder of Eye Open Eye Productions. Thanks to you both for a wonderfully robust conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.